Well, in case some of you didn't notice it already, I am always looking for something to celebrate. So I'm celebrating today. But one of the things I celebrate most and never take for granted is the fact that I live just 20 minutes away from the Niagara Falls, where people come from Japan and New Zealand and Chile and Alaska to see. Never take it for granted. And apart from the falls itself, the thing I celebrate most in Niagara Falls is the rainbow that always appears to show up when I visit, and I visit very often. I never take the falls for granted, and I never take that rainbow for granted. The rainbow has made a permanent, indelible mark in my psyche. It is always for me. That's the child in me goes, oh, wow, rainbow, every time. And I know it's not just me. In virtually every land, culture, and religion, ever since we have existed, the rainbow has been etched in our human consciousness. And so now, if you indulge my scientific pretensions, briefly, the rainbow, as we know, is a magical reflection of colors that come together in an arc as rays of white light shine through raindrops or moisture in the air. That's the end of my science. For this reason, and because people involved with religion already have a deep affinity for the rainbow, and because I like to celebrate, I designed a few years ago a banner to help us celebrate the rainbow of our faith communities. Now, when we here in the Universalist Unitarian family, worldwide family, say faith communities, we definitely include all the traditional faith groups, and we also include non-traditional faith groups. And among them in particular, we include our secular humanist tradition, who do not necessarily profess a faith in a deity, but nonetheless profess strong faith. And today I'm delighted to invite all of us who are gathered here to join together in unveiling our multi-faith banner, which was crafted for me by my very dear friend, who unfortunately is not here today because she lives near Ottawa, Jean Raynard. She lives in Smiths Falls. So now, with the help of two lovely people whom I've already asked, we are going to unveil our multi-faith banner. Finally. Thank you. So you can, I don't mind if you turn to me occasionally too, but you can keep enjoying the banner. So now that we've unveiled the banner, what will it accomplish? Well, first of all, it's an announcement. And it's an announcement that says, hear ye, everybody, we people of faith are a bright and colorful people, banded close together, radiating the light of truth, justice, peace, God. So that's the announcement. Second, it is a welcome. It should really be out there on the street, big. But, you know, in our winters, it doesn't work. However, where it is now, the moment anybody comes through that door, this rainbow will greet you and it will say, "Welcome, all ye of good will. Do come in and join and celebrate with us." And in addition to the rainbow there, unless there's been an earthquake or a tsunami or something like that, you will meet Doreen, whose countenance beams welcome like the rainbow. And then you will meet other folks who will welcome you as well. And that was my experience when I first walked through that door a couple of years ago. So everybody keep that in mind. Third, the rainbow invites persons of all faiths to shine together, like the colors do over there. This rainbow challenges us not only to hang together in the sky, but to be ready to stand together for one another on the ground. Now, the first thing that strikes me when I celebrate the rainbow is, of course, wow, look at all those different colors. Beautiful colors strung together in a wondrous arc in heaven. This rainbow will remind people of different faiths and convictions to come together in the same way and go, wow, let us celebrate our differences. Let us talk about them. Let us ask questions about them. Let's understand them. And then go, wow, now that I really understand you so much better, I am so much the richer for it, and I feel so much closer to you. And then, when I understand you better, I will make another huge discovery that you and I are really not very different at all as we stand together in the rainbow of our faith communities. For one thing, we are all colors of the same, of the faith, of faith, colors of faith. We actually, and here I'm trying to be scientific again if possible, all absorb the colors of the same white light of infinite truth, even while we may reflect that truth differently. Now, this is an important point, which I want to say a little bit more about, because when we say colors of the rainbow, we think immediately different. That's okay. Yeah. That's all right. Well, we know how that happens. Yeah. So similarly, you know, when we think about religions of the world, I think the first thought that comes to many people's mind is different religions of the world. Now, what I want to show this morning is that while it is true that there are differences, I want to show that when we think the word, when we say the word religion, we can also think similar. And how are we similar? First of all, we might need to be reminded, I hope not, that we are first and foremost all human beings. Across history and geography, the same spirit animates us all, shapes our deepest identities, and inspires our greatest longings. We all have the same needs, the same sorrows, the same joys, the same fears, which we share each morning on Sundays over here, and the same hopes. In fact, there is strong evidence to show that our founding prophets, our founding inspirers, our spiritual inspirations, looked deep down into their own hearts and into our hearts, and to our surprise, came up with remarkably similar teachings to meet our supposedly various needs. To me, it often looks like these founding spiritual inspirations were probably exchanging notes across time and space to pass on to us. If only we would take note. And this was long before the time of internet, cyberspace, and time machines. All our prophets, if we look at their teachings, really, we will find so much that they shared in common. And it's important for us to take note of that. For example, scholars show us all kinds of connections between the words and actions of Jesus and the spiritual teachings and actions of spiritual leaders and figures who lived long before Jesus in the Mediterranean region and elsewhere. Tom Harper, who has written this very well-known book now called The Pagan Christ, is in one of his recent works, he points this out, the similarity between Jesus and all these other spiritual teachings at the time of Jesus. On March the 9th next year, our own scholar in residence, who I don't think is here this morning, Dr. John Northover, will speak to us about Egyptian and other ancient roots of Christianity. I hope everybody will join us then. Now, something that all our faiths have in common, of course, is nature. From the very beginning, all our faiths have that in common, and it's especially strong in our First Nations traditions. And the fact that all of existence is together and interdependent is a sacred theme, of course, of the environmental movement today. Now, if we proceed to consider the more formal religions of the world, there is so much in common, beginning with monotheism, between our Zoroastrian community, which is considered to be the oldest of the revealed religions, and Christianity. Zoroastrianism, as you know, was originated in Persia, which is modern-day Iran. So did our great Baha'i faith originate in Persia, and its spiritual teachings, if we look at them closely, are so kindred to those of Christianity. The Holy Prophet Baha'u'llah recognized Jesus as the Spirit of God. So there is much scholarship also that shows the similarity of experience and teaching between Jesus and the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Sorry, and the Holy Prophet Gautama Buddha, also Muhammad. Okay? One well-known Christian scholar, Marcus Borg, has produced an excellent work, which you can see over there on that table, which is below the banner. And it is called Jesus and Buddha, the Parallel Saying. Of course, there is hardly any need for me to point out the very close cousin relationships that has existed between the Abrahamic religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, which trace their common roots to the prophet Abraham through Isaac and Ishmael. As among any close cousins, they have had some big family feuds, but we have it in us to kiss and make up. In fact, today I'm going to take the liberty of demonstrating how things that don't get into the headlines of our newspapers are very exciting also to hear about, and this is good news. And so I want to take a special time to welcome Rob Stahl, who is from Western New York. And I also want to take time to welcome in particular Elizabeth Rahman and Helen and Fadush. Shadufka. Okay, got it. I'll get it better next time. Yeah. Rob, hi there. Rob Stahl is working in Western New York. Rob is of the Judaic tradition, and he is working in Western New York with other faiths, but especially with the Islamic faith, to build bridges. And if you look at the rainbow, it's a bridge. Build bridges between Judaism, followers of Judaism rather, and followers of Islam and other faith groups. And Elizabeth and Helen, and tell me that name again properly. Shagufta. Thank you. And I think this is supposed to be a T originally, you said, right? Shagufta? See? I know a little bit. Yeah. Belong to the Abrahamic community of Peterborough. And they are building bridges there in Peterborough. between these three faith groups in particular and everybody else. And today something interesting has happened. Rob is from New York, and Elizabeth and company from Peterborough chose to come here today over the bridge. And I want you to imagine Burlington Skyway and the Garden City Skyway and the rainbow. And they are going to meet here today to see how they might be able to do more things in common. So this is the way I would like to advocate that all of us can do that, including here in St. Catharines. And that's why I especially welcome our brothers and sister from the Islamic community here in St. Catharines. Here right in St. Catharines, we can also build bridges by coming together a lot more often. So that's my little illustration of what can happen. And of course, we all find that we all have a lot in common. And so while we continue to celebrate our differences, it is important to know that we do have much in common. Now, just in order to demonstrate, because how we can get over this idea that we're very different, I want to do a little comparison between two faith groups that most people in the West think could hardly be more far apart. And those two faith groups are Christianity and Hinduism. What I would like to show very briefly is that, in fact, Hinduism and Christianity are not really terribly different. For example, both religions believe in one ultimate supreme being. Christians call it God. Hindus call it Brahman, ultimate reality. Both faiths believe in a triune Godhead. Christians call it the unity of Father, Son, and Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Hindus call it Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Trimurti. Notice even the linguistic similarity. The functions of these divinities in each tradition have several similar features which we can't go into now. Judith, do you mind getting me some water, please? When I get carried away, my throat gets dry. So, in the Godhead now, Hindus recognize a female dimension that goes by various names, including Gayatri, Saraswati, Parvati, Lakshmi, Durga, etc. Now, our Roman Catholic tradition, which is among the oldest of the Christian traditions, thank you. Actually proclaims the Virgin Mary as the Mother of God. But I hasten to add, doctrinally, Mary is not considered to be a mother goddess. However, you have the idea. Now, increasingly, students of popular religion are acknowledging that the experience of the omnipresence of Brahman, that is the ultimate reality, through a multiplicity of gods and goddesses in popular Hinduism is not entirely different from the multiplicity of saints, especially in the Roman Catholic tradition and some other Christian traditions. If you look at it, there was a time when the Christian tradition, the saints often took precedence over Jesus. And a little story goes where the pious lady going into the church and prays fervently to Jesus and then says, "Dear Jesus, please ask Saint Anthony to grant my wish." So Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God in this world. Hindus also believe that the ultimate reality, Brahman, has been incarnated in the world, but several times, as a real presence in progressive epochs of history. Now, scholars are beginning to notice also striking parallels between the life story of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life story of Lord Krishna, viewed as an incarnation of God, Vishnu. Even the titles sound similar. Christ, Krishna. This, along with other close similarities between the life and work, life and words of Gautama Buddha and Jesus, has given rise to serious speculation regarding the spiritual experiences that were shared between the Middle East and India way back in the early days of Christianity. Now, the Gospel of John starts, for those of us who remember, with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Hinduism, the primal utterance of Brahman, which brought into existence all of existence, was the well-known Om. And as it echoes through, everything comes into being. That was the primal utterance of Brahman. I am just wanting you all to see close connections without necessarily considering that everything in detail is the same. Furthermore, the Gospel of John emphasizes the unity, the complete unity of God and Jesus and each of us. May they be one, you in me and I in you and they in us and we in them. May they be so totally one, that's John 17, that the world will know that you have sent me. May they be completely one. This teaching is really considered to be highly Vedantic. That is, the Vedas, the teaching, the primary teaching of the Vedas, where in Vedantic teaching, the what you might call the apex teaching is Advaita, which means non-duality, oneness, complete oneness, unity. In fact, the Gospel of John is often referred to in India and elsewhere as the Vedantic Gospel. There are some books over there on Hinduism and a few other subjects which you'll feel free to look at later on. So the reason why I've taken the trouble to do this is because even though these two religions are supposedly so different, they have so much of common experience. So you can imagine how much more in common many other religions have. And of course, we don't have time to go into it now. But this is a beginning to start talking to each other and learning and understanding each other. So when all is said and done, furthermore, about doctrine and theology, etc., the ethical teachings that flow from our faith traditions are pretty much the same. I'm sure you agree with me, a good person is the same in every faith, has the same attributes. All of us, in one form or the other, are seeking to experience love, truth, ultimate peace. Many of us call this experience the experience of God. In practical life, the golden rule, and we have the poster there, shows our understanding of what it means to be compassionate, kind, to take care of our neighbors. It is the same in every faith, tradition, and persuasion that I know. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the rainbow of our faith tradition shows us that we may look different, we may even be different in some of our beliefs, but we have all absorbed the same light of infinite truth, and we have vast amounts in common, philosophically, even theologically. In any case, in the final outcome, our faiths and our convictions inspire us all in the same direction, the direction of the golden rule. In our Islamic faith tradition, the golden rule says, not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself. So in summary, the rainbow of our faith communities invites us to come together more often, to listen to one another, to understand one another, to learn from one another, to stand with each other, to celebrate one another, and to bring this celebration to the entire world around us, locally in Niagara and in Canada and in the world, so that to bring it to all people, the good news of kindness and compassion played out in practical terms, whether it is in charity or whether it is in bigger systemic changes that we want to make, which is connected with the little announcement that David made earlier about something as simple as raising the minimum wage for Ontarians who are having a hard time. We as a faith group can do, as faith groups or faith group, can do that very much more effectively if we come together. So whether we want to learn more about philosophical and theological truth, or whether we want to live the golden rule, we can do it together better. And I want to invite everybody here to consider that, and maybe today, right after this service, when we are having Superlicious, incidentally, and I hope all of you will stay for that, we can start talking to each other. And I'm going to take this opportunity to say, those of us who are our visitors, especially if you are in groups, I want you to try not to sit with each other, but distribute yourselves so that you sit with people whom you don't know at all, or didn't know at all up to now, so that we can actually get to know a little bit more about each other. And I believe firmly that if we do this, we have, if you look at that rainbow more closely, we can find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Thank you.